The Corner Office Paycheck.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Do you know how much your CEO makes? Maybe you don't want to know, but the Securities and Exchange Commission does. The SEC votes today on a plan that would unmask executive compensation like never before. For the first time, companies would have to show each year how much top execs earn in salary, bonuses, and stock options. Recent studies show corporate leaders are getting a much bigger chunk of company earnings, money that would otherwise go to shareholders. Now, about that domestic spying program, Congress gets back to work today, and it's ready to investigate. The program came to light because a government employee leaked information to the media. The president didn't like that one bit, but as Jeff Tyler reports, national security workers don't have much choice if they're going to blow the whistle.
If national security employees discover fraud or abuse, they're supposed to notify officials within their agency or Congress. But former National Security Agency officer Russ Tice says it's safer professionally to talk to the press.
You're almost forced to go to a reporter somewhere because you know if you try to do it internally, your career's over. You're either going to be blacklisted or you're going to be fired.
Tice was fired last year after voicing suspicions that a colleague might be a spy. Now he's ready to tell Congress about illegal NSA surveillance programs.
The NSA, CIA, DIA, FBI are all exempt from the current whistleblower protection laws.
Several watchdog groups support legislation that would make it a crime to retaliate against national security whistleblowers. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
The price of gold opened in London today near $562 an ounce. That's a record high. In fact, silver, platinum, copper, zinc, and aluminum all hit new highs in Europe yesterday. Marketplace's Amy Scott tells us what's driving the metal mania.
Gold is the classic safe haven, and these days investors have plenty of reasons to seek shelter. A weak dollar, worries about Iran's nuclear ambitions, avian flu. James Turk runs an online gold trading service. He says the rally is overdue.
Energy prices at record highs, a lot of commodity prices like platinum and copper are at record highs. But gold and silver have been lagging. I think they're going to be catching up.
Growing demand for industrial metals is pushing prices up. Maybe too fast, says Gordon Bassett with platinum marketer Johnson Matthey. He says producers have mixed feelings about the recent price spike.
Their income is certainly very good. What they don't want is for the price to be too high that will cause people to go to alternatives.
That happened with the precious metal palladium 5 years ago. When prices shot up, manufacturers took their business elsewhere. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Alan Greenspan is golden in more ways than one. End of this month, the 79-year-old retires as chairman of the Federal Reserve. He'll probably spend his golden years giving speeches and making a lot of money. The Financial Times says Greenspan will likely get more than $100,000 per speech. He'll join President Clinton and former General Electric CEO Jack Welch as the top draws for speaking engagements. Wall Street gets back to work today. We'll see if the bulls are still charging. It was all bear in Japan today. The Nikkei stock index plunged almost 3%, its biggest loss in nearly 2 years. The dollar gained value against the Japanese yen. You're listening to Marketplace. Uruguay is a tiny country that lives off visitors from its much bigger neighbor, Argentina. But the tourism industry is taking a huge hit this season. From the America's desk at WLRN, Dan Gretsch explains.
People from the Argentine town of Gualeguaychú are protesting the construction of two paper mills across the river in Uruguay. Protesters say the plants will pollute the river and kill fishing and tourism in the area. So they block the bridge to Uruguay, snarling traffic and sending many Argentines home. The number of Argentine tourists fell more than 8% in December, costing Uruguay tens of millions of dollars. Roberto Villamil is with Uruguay's largest chamber of commerce. He says the protests are also affecting trade. Uruguayan trucks are forced to line up at the border or take longer routes. Protesters say they'll keep up the demonstrations until construction is halted. From Miami, I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
From American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by Medtronic, alleviating pain, restoring health, extending life. Medtronic, on the web at Medtronic.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation, on the web at kauffman.com. www.marketplacemonitor.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. When you think of Canada, what comes to mind, eh? Nice people, hockey, free health care. Every Canadian, regardless of income, gets it. Americans have long envied that about Canada. So then why are thousands of Canadians crossing the border to pay for what they could get for free? As Steve McNally tells us, so they don't have to wait.
Well, I got to the point where I couldn't even stand for more than a couple of minutes.
That's 83-year-old Bea Hunter, who lives near Vancouver, an avid gardener and dog walker who was fast becoming disabled because she needed a hip replacement. When she finally got to see an orthopedic surgeon,
he said it would be possibly about 10 to 12 months before I would be able to be operated on for that hip.
But faced with that unacceptable wait, Bea Hunter did what thousands of Canadians now do. She crossed the U.S. border and got the treatment she needed almost instantly. She paid over $28,000 out of her own pocket. It's estimated as many as 800,000 Canadians are on waiting lists for diagnostic tests and operations that the government says are not urgently needed. And because private health care is actually prohibited by law in Canada, it's a market ripe for U.S. clinics.
Ogdensburg, New York, Buffalo, New York, Detroit, Michigan, Petoskey, Michigan, Seattle, Washington, and Bellingham, Washington.
Those are some of the cities to which Rick Baker, the owner of Timely Medical Alternatives in Vancouver, sends Canadian patients. He's Canada's first healthcare broker.
Our clients come back from Bellingham or Seattle raving about the care and attention they got. And the reason they get this good care is the hospitals are hoping they will tell their friends so they will get more business.
And it's not just clinics close to the border looking to find paying Canadian clients.
Good morning, MD Anderson Canada Information Office.
MD Anderson, the renowned cancer clinic based in Houston, has gone so far as to open an information office next to the biggest hospitals in Toronto.
When Canadians leave Canada for care, generally the majority come to the United States, and we wanted to capture a share of those patients.
Wendelin Jongenberger, MD Anderson's Director of International Business, says they've picked up new clients by visiting Canadian doctors and meeting Canadian cancer support groups.
It's been about a 50% increase since we've opened the office.
And the Mayo Clinics, which operate three information lines in Canada, treat as many as 2,000 Canadian patients a year. Canadian politicians, now in the thick of an election campaign, are promising to deal with the wait times, fueling this cross-border trade. But it will likely be years before reforms stem the flow of patients to the U.S. In Toronto, I'm Steve McNally for Marketplace.
Our evening program is broadcasting from China this week. If you don't catch it on air, you can hear everything on the web. It's marketplace.org. We're podcasting from China, too. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
Chances are you're wearing something that's made.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.